The question I'd like to ask this morning is this. Why should we do that? Now, that may sound like an obvious question, maybe even a strange question, but bear with me for a minute. I think we would all agree we should live a wise life, right? Why? Well, I could immediately think of a couple of reasons. One is I don't want to do something foolish. Two is, I'd like to appear and be a wise person in the eyes of other people. Perhaps one of the greatest reasons is, as we've gone through the book of Proverbs, we've just seen the benefits of living a wise life, and I'd like to have the benefits. So that's a good reason for living a wise life. Now, in the process of mentioning all of these and perhaps others, it seems to me that Solomon, at one point, comes upon a reason for living a wise life that I'm going to call the ultimate reason. What is the ultimate reason for living a really wise life? Doing what's smart, and that, of course, as we've seen from the book of Proverbs, means also doing what's godly. What's the ultimate reason for doing that? Well, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, I'll show you what I think it is. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from your eyes, but keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor the trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. It's a very interesting passage in the midst of the book of Proverbs. What's going on here? What's Solomon saying to us? Well, first of all, let me suggest that there are three parts to this passage. The first thing he does is he talks about the Creator. An interesting observation for Solomon in the middle of the book of Proverbs. Then, based on that comment concerning the Creator, he gives a command. And then he gives us the consequences of obeying that command. So we're going to look first at what he says about the Creator. And then we're going to look at the command he gives to us and the consequences of it. Let's begin with verse 19. He says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew." Real simple point. God created the earth. He mentions several aspects of creation as recorded in Genesis. And then he tells us something that I don't think Genesis mentions. And that is that when he did this, he did it using wisdom. Rather interesting. God created the universe, and when he did, he used wisdom to do it. Now, let's look specifically at what he says. He says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth." The Hebrew word that's translated founded means firm. Form of this word means foundation. So it's as if to say he laid a foundation. The divine builder of the universe started with a solid foundation. The next thing he says is that by understanding, he established the heavens. The word established means to set up. This divine structural engineer not only laid a foundation, he then created the expanse that we call heaven. Then, focusing once again back on the earth, he says in verse 20, by his knowledge the depths were broken up. Now, this is obviously a reference to Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible tells us in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and it was empty, it was void. Apparently, water covered the whole planet. So at one point in God's creative process, he separated the land from the water. And that is what Solomon is talking about in verse 20. The depths were broken up, and they were broken up by land masses. We now say there are seven continents. And finally, he says, and the clouds drop down the dew. God, by his wisdom, allowed it to rain in his creation. That was part of his wisdom in creating this. But the point of verses 19 and 20 is simply that the Lord used wisdom in the very creation of the universe. I must say to you, as I was studying Proverbs and just reading it, I came upon these two verses and I thought, why bring that up here? I mean, what's the point? I must confess, and I've studied the Bible now for a few years, you understand. I must confess, I never thought of the fact that God used wisdom in creation. Power, maybe, but wisdom? I don't think that ever quite struck me. But the thing that I think part of what Solomon is telling us here is this. What we find in the book of Proverbs is not just the wisdom of an ancient king called Solomon. The wisdom predates him. God, the Creator, used the type of wisdom that's in this book that we can follow. So this isn't human wisdom, it's divine wisdom. It's not philosophical speculation. It's not theoretical opinion. It is not human. It is divine wisdom. God used this wisdom when he created the earth itself. Now, based on that observation about the Creator, Solomon issues a command. He says in verse 21, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. The command is that you keep them before your eyes. Now, what's the logical question? What's the question that pops into your mind when I read that verse? What's them? What's them? Well, the answer to that is the wisdom, all those words for wisdom that were used in verses 19 and 20, and the fact that God used that kind of wisdom when he created the heavens and the earth. Now, let me pause here for a minute and suggest something. As we have been going through the book of Proverbs, we've bumped into several different words for wisdom. One is wisdom. The other is understanding. Another is knowledge. Another is discretion. And the way this book is written and the way it's structured, it's very apparent that while there are nuances of differences between these words, Solomon is using them as synonyms. What is striking about this passage is that they all are clustered together in these couple of verses. Notice, matter of fact, if you've got a pen and you don't mind marking in your Bible, you might just jot down verse 19, circle or underscore the word wisdom. Again in verse 19, the word understanding. In verse 20, the word knowledge. Then in verse 21, sound wisdom. And finally, the word discretion. Now let me make just a comment or two. As you've heard me say now, as we've been going through this book, the word wisdom, that word that's translated wisdom in verse 19, actually means skill. It's used in the Old Testament of skill with technical work, like skill in working with wood and metal and cloth. In Proverbs, it's used of skill for living, that you live life skillfully. The other word that's used for wisdom is understanding. And that word means discernment or insight. A wise person has insight into what's really going on in life and has the skill to then live life appropriately. That's the point. The word knowledge in verse 20, as it's used in the book of Proverbs, actually isn't just having your head filled with facts. The word knowledge in the book of Proverbs is knowing truth, and as we've seen in several places, it's knowing God. So knowledge has a particular emphasis in the book of Proverbs on an intimate relationship with the Lord Himself. And then in verse 21, it talks about sound wisdom, which is an interesting little word. The real root meaning is uncertain, but the basic idea is that it is efficient wisdom. It can even be translated success in some places. And then the word discretion means purpose. And some have suggested that this has the idea of the power to plan. Now, all that's a bunch of facts. The point is this. God created the earth with wisdom. He had insight. He had the power to plan. He used skill. And it was effective and useful. God didn't just create something with no use. God created a useful universe. That's the point. And He used wisdom to do it. Now, Solomon says, my son, let them, that is this creation and what's behind it, all these words for wisdom, not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, meaning before your eyes. So, the comment about the Creator is He created a useful universe with wisdom. Insight was useful. And the command is that we keep this constantly before our eyes. As you know, Patricia and I just took a trip. We got in the car and saw it ahead as a vague itinerary that we would go to Yellowstone if indeed we made it that far. We just pointed the car and got in it and decided we'd drive until we wanted to stop. And the next morning we'd drive until we wanted to stop. And then we'd go as far as we could until we had to turn and come back. Well, I want you to know we went to Yellowstone. Then we went to Custer's Last Stand. Then we went to Mount Rushmore. Then we came back through Nebraska and then through the Rockies. And on that trip, we saw some of the most beautiful scenery in the United States. Now, I happen to have traveled all over the United States, all over Canada and all other parts of the world. And there are a few other spots. The Smoky Mountains are beautiful. Niagara's beautiful. But I mean, it's hard to beat some of the stuff in Wyoming. We saw some spectacular sunrises and sunsets. We saw some superb mountain scenery, some marvelous waterfalls. It was a wonderful, relaxing trip. As I looked at all of this creation, I thought, how beautiful. And there are parts of this creation that are genuinely beautiful. Have you ever gone outside at night on a clear night? Now, we could do that where we were. It's rare in Los Angeles. And look up and see the stars and think our sun is a star. And when we can see it, it's so bright we can't look at it. And we can barely see these. How vast must be this creation? You ever done that? Ever looked at the moon and the stars and thought about how
big and vast this universe is? Well, if you have any kind of a spiritual bent, you know, as we looked at this beauty, we thought, man, did the Lord create something beautiful? Ever done that? Or you look up at the sky and you say, man, is the Lord ever powerful? Ever done that? All of us have done that, right? Well, let me tell you what Solomon says. Solomon says, you ought to look at the Rocky Mountains. You ought to look at the sun, the moon, and the stars, and you ought to think, wow, was God smart? And I confess to you, I haven't done that too many times. I've looked at it and said, God created something beautiful. I've looked at it and said, God is powerful. I've never looked at God's creation and said, wow, God did all this with insight to create a habitation for us, and He used wisdom. Wasn't that wise? Now, these verses mention the creation of the earth and the sky and the separation of the continents and rain. Now, let me tell you, I'm not a fan of rain. When I see it, I see an interference. You know? You got to get out the umbrella and you're going to get wet. And I don't like getting wet. One of the reasons I love Los Angeles. It's dry. I like it. But it never occurred to me to look at the rain, which I hear we're going to get plenty of this fall, and think, wow, wasn't God wise? Is that not true? It's really true. Now, here's what I think is the real point of what's going on in this passage. When Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's table, He took something very common, a piece of bread, something we see every day and perhaps two and three times a day. He wanted something very common to remind us of His death. In a similar fashion, I think this passage is telling us that God created the universe by wisdom, and every time we see the earth, when we see the universe, when we feel the rain, we ought to be constantly reminded, God created all this by wisdom, and therefore we ought to create our lives and form our world wisely. That's the point. Solomon says, keep it before your eyes. God deliberately did this so that we are constantly remembered. Every time we see a tree, every time we feel a drop of rain, every time we look at a star, God wants us to be reminded He did all of this with wisdom, and we're to keep it constantly before our eyes. Give you a different worldview, wouldn't it? Hope that now every time you look at something, you think, Solomon said, I'm to be reminded of wisdom. You got it. Now, if you do this, if you're constantly reminded about God's wisdom, and you order your world according to that wisdom, there are consequences. Now, I've called these benefits, but we can call them consequences. And Solomon in this passage lists at least four of them. So let's go back to the passage and look at the consequences of doing this. He says in verse 22, so there will be life to your soul. Wow. First consequence is you get to live. You get life. Now, I think it's appropriate that he would mention that in this connection because he's just mentioned rain. Rain is necessary for life in the animal world, the plant world, and the human world as well. So as God gave rain to produce life on the earth, and He did all that by wisdom, so wisdom gives us life instead of just existing, instead of just eking out an existence. we really begin to live in all the fullness of what God intended when we live wisely. By the way, he has mentioned this benefit before in this chapter. Remember verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace will be added to you. But the point is that one thing that's going to be added is not only a quality of life, but a quantity of life as well. Proverbs says you'll live longer if you live wisely. But there's a quality of life involved in this too. The second consequence is in verse 22. He says, and grace to your neck. Now, again, this is appropriate because God created all this, not because he had to, but graciously. He did it as a favor, if you will. He created the very universe. And likewise, when we, like him, live by wisdom, there will be grace to us. Now, Solomon has said this before in this chapter. He says in verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and men. And favor, of course, is what grace is all about. So that if we're living a wise life, then we will experience grace from God and from other people as well. We talked about that when we looked at the early part of this chapter. Now, those two we've seen before. The third one is in verse 23. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. The third benefit or consequence, whatever you choose to call it, is safety. I have to confess to you, when I looked at this passage, I thought to myself, wow. You mean to tell me if I live wisely, I'm not going to have any accidents? I'm not going to fall down and break my arm or not have any automobile accidents? Is that what this is talking about? It sure seems like it is, doesn't it? I concluded that that's not what it was saying. And I concluded that because of the fact that the way the word safety is used in the book of Proverbs. Now, there are all kinds of verses we could look at, but I want you to look at least chapter 1, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, where wisdom is pictured as a lady. And she says, whoever listens to me will dwell safely, there's our word, and will be secure without fear of evil. So the kinds of safety that he has in mind is safety from sin. Or look at chapter 10, verse 9. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9, he says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known. Now notice, walking with integrity and you will be secure. So this has to do with not sinning. So back in chapter 3, when he says, then you will walk safely and your foot will not stumble. Meaning, you won't stumble into sin. And that's a very common metaphor in the New Testament. So the safety is safety from sin. If you're doing what's wise, you're not going to be doing what's sinful. And therefore, you're going to be safe from sin. That is what I think his point is. Now, the fourth benefit is, he says in verse 24, yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. So the fourth benefit I'm going to call serenity. You're going to be able to lie down and go to sleep. And the sleep is going to be sweet. The word means pleasant. Psalm 127, the Bible says, the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. Those who love him and are walking with Him and are obeying Him are going to lie down, and they're not going to have to worry or feel guilty because they're walking with the Lord, and they're going to lie down and go to sleep. You might take a moment sometime this afternoon and read the book of Acts in chapter 12. Peter gets arrested and they come to him in prison. He's sound asleep. Here he is in deep trouble and he's sound asleep. Hadn't done anything wrong as far as the Lord was concerned, and he's just sleeping away. Now, that's the way it is. You get serenity. When all's right with the Lord and you're walking in a wise way and you're living wisely, there's nothing to fear. Amen? Okay. Now, at this point, Solomon really wants you to get the others he's mentioned before, life and grace, safety and serenity. He really wants you to get, so he repeats it. Look in verse 25, or verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. The Hebrew word means you'll not be filled with dread. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid, same word, don't be dreadful of sudden terror, nor trouble. Oh boy, we got a little problem here. My translation, which I really like, I think it's one of the best translations in the market, but every once in a while I disagree with it, and this happens to be one of those places. It says, nor trouble from the wicked when it comes. What does your translation say? Does it say from?
No.
What does yours say?
Or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked.
Or overtakes the wicked. Same idea. Well, let me tell you. The Hebrew text literally says of the wicked. And it can mean trouble that comes from the wicked, as this translation and that one is indicating. Or it can mean trouble that overtakes the wicked, that is on the wicked. And that's what I think it means in this particular case. So that what he's saying is you don't have to worry about the sudden terror or the trouble that's going to come on wicked people. You see what he's saying? You're going to be safe from sin, so you don't have to go to bed and worry, am I going to get caught in the morning? That's what he's saying. For he says, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And he means caught in trouble and caught in sin and caught in judgment. So the point of this passage is that you will have safety from sin. You're not going to have to worry about what's overtaking the wicked, what's coming on them, and consequently, you're going to be able to lay down and go to sleep at night without guilt. Do you ever go to sleep or go to bed? Wish you could have lived that day over? Wish you could have ever taken words back that you said? Come on, confess. Haven't we? Have you ever done something and wish for all the world we could say take two like they do in Hollywood and film it over? I have. Boy, have I. Well, let me tell you. If you're living wisely, you can go to bed and say, I did it like the Lord wanted me to do it. I'm going to curl up and go to sleep. Not because I'm so tired I can't stay awake, or not because I'm exhausted, because I'm at peace with the Lord and with life. Now, let me sum this passage up. What is Solomon saying to us? I think if you put the whole passage together, he's saying this. He's saying that the God who created the universe used wisdom when he did it. And if we keep that ever before our eyes, we will be living our lives and ordering our world and fashioning our lifestyle just like God did with wisdom. And so we reap the benefits of life and grace and safety from sin and serenity. Now, there's a whole bunch of reasons in that statement as to why we ought to live wisely, so we can really have life instead of a mere existence, so we can experience grace, so we can experience safety from sin, so we can live serenely, so we can sleep at night. But it seems to me the ultimate reason, subtly conveyed in this passage, is that God created the world with wisdom. So when I live a wise life, I'm being like the Lord. Notice this passage begins and ends with the Lord. It says, the Lord formed the earth, verse 19. And everything else is sandwiched between. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. That's why we ought to walk wisely. Because then we're being like the Lord, and He is personally involved in our lives, and He is our confidence. So I concluded from looking at this passage that the ultimate reason for living a wise life is the Lord. It's because then I'm like Him. It's because then He is in my life. I have His blessing. He's my confidence. He's my life. He's gracious to me. He keeps me from sin. He gives me the serenity so I can sleep at night. It's the Lord. Excuse me, I got a little excited. Amen? Amen. Recently something happened to me. I wasn't aware at the time, but as I was studying this passage and as I began to think about it, it occurred to me that what was happening to me was an illustration of what this passage is trying to say to me. Patricia and I took a trip. And we started out saying we're just going to point the car and we're going to stop where we want to stop. But as we got into this, we figured out we wanted to be some places. And, it sort of snowballed on us. And, well, we were going through Utah and we decided we wanted to get to Salt Lake City by that night. And, well, the speed limit's 75 in Utah. And, well, I nudged it up to 85. I'm cruising down the freeway at about, you think I'm going to tell you I got a ticket. I can tell by the expression on your face. Anyway, I'm cruising down the freeway about 85 miles an hour, and I'm nervous. I'm looking in the rearview mirror because I was afraid I was going to get a ticket. I didn't. Fooled you, didn't I? Well, when we got to Utah, I have to tell you about Utah. Montana. Montana has the most interesting speed limit in all the United States. As you cross the border, it says, speed limit, prudent and reasonable. Now, that's the finest speed limit I've ever seen in my life. Now, at night, it's 65, and if you're driving a truck, and even in the day, it's 65, but if you're in a car, it is reasonable and prudent. I decided on the fact that it was a clear day and no traffic, reasonable and prudent was somewhere between 90 and 100. And I'm telling you, I drove the speed limit. Now we got out of Montana and we went into North Dakota and we got to South Dakota and we went to Mount Rushmore. And we got out of Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore is spectacular. It's awesome. I've seen it before. Patricia hadn't. She was struck with the magnitude of Mount Rushmore. We got out of there. We were on a little piece of four-lane highway. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and to my horror, there were flashing red lights. And I got pulled over. I was doing 40 miles an hour on a four-lane highway. And I couldn't believe I was speeding. The speed limit was 25. I was so, I don't know, dumbfounded, whatever. We were so caught up in all this, and we were having such a great time. out of the kindness or whatever of his heart, he just gave me a verbal warning. And I didn't get a ticket. So then we drove over to a little place called Wall, South Dakota, and we saw the Badlands, and then we came down through Nebraska on back, deserted country roads. It was a federal highway, Highway 83, but it was deserted. Now, just before we got on this thing, we were listening to a local radio station, and we were interested in all this kind of stuff going on in the country. We stopped at a restaurant. We went in, and we just sort of talked to some truck drivers and farmers to find out about what's going on in that part of the world. Fascinating time. And in the process, I said to them, by the way, I'm about to drop down 83 south to North Platte, and that's a long, lonely stretch of road. I want to know what the speed limit is, and do they patrol it? And they said, the speed limit is 65, and let me assure you, they patrol it. And a lady at the table went, got up from the table, she went and bought a newspaper, she brought it back, and she read me the local newspaper, and here is what it said. Bruce Worth paid $25 fine and $21 court cost for driving 72 miles an hour in a 65-mile stretch of highway. Jeannie Godden of Nebraska was fined, cited $75 and $21 in court costs for driving 76 on the highway with a speed limit of 65. They said if she'd been going 75, it would have been 25. She was driving 76, it was 75. I got the message. So we left that little town called Valentine, Nebraska, and we got on that stretch of 83, and this is what was going on in my head. Number one, I read the paper. Number two, I just had an experience. That officer looking in my window saying, may I have your driver's license, please? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to obey the speed limit. But you know the ultimate reason? I didn't want to get a ticket, that's true. But this is a long stretch of road. And let me tell you, you can get to the top of a little hill, not much of a mountain, but a little hill, and you can see and you could scoot it up for a while, you know? You know? You could sneak around. You know why I didn't? Because Patricia was in the car. And you know what? Bless her heart, when she drives, she obeys the speed limit. That's a great example. And besides, we get along a lot better when I do too. So I obeyed the speed limit all the way down 83. And sure enough, before we finished that stretch, it was a long stretch, a patrolman had somebody pulled over, I suspect, giving him a ticket. And you know what? I didn't look in my rearview mirror. And I wasn't nervous. And I was serene. And I enjoyed looking at cornfields and cows. But I was serene. Now, if you walk wisely because of the Lord, what you get is safety. I wasn't worried about getting a ticket, and serenity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example that you've given us, that you use wisdom in creating us and the world. We thank you as well for the fact that you've allowed us to know you and know your wisdom and walk in it. Father, I pray that as a result of our exposure to this passage, every time we see a tree, and as we look at the sky, as we walk through the next week, we'll be constantly reminded that you did all of this with wisdom, and we're to order our world the same way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.